Blurred purple and yellow light combines to form the word capital in purple letters. A shaft of light passes through a projector lens. The image morphs into the logo of the UK Film Council. Capital Films and the UK Film Council present, in association with the Isle of Man Film Commission and in association with Endgame Entertainment, a Jim Henson Company production, a Capital Films, Davis Films production. Seen from above, a biplane flies across an inky black surface. As the view enlarges, the black surface is revealed as part of an exclamation mark, which is itself part of a Daily Chronicle newspaper headline, Britain declares war. The front page mixes through to a picture of biplanes lined up on an aerodrome. The image gives way to a Daily Mirror headline, Children evacuated. A red biplane flies in front of a subheading, It's war now.
It was the summer of 1917 and the world was at war. Like lots of children, we had to leave our home, leave London. We didn't want to go, but Dad went to fly planes and Mum went to look after the wounded, and we were stuck. They insisted we go to the country to stay with mad Uncle Albert and our cousin Horace.
A headline, It Seems War is Inevitable in the East, gives way to the title, Five Children and It. The title melts away to reveal in sepia tones the hustle and bustle at a busy station. The picture swells into full colour as a family struggle onto a platform, the father dressed in a Royal Flying Corps captain's uniform.
Robert, wait! Now Uncle Albert will meet you at the station.
Do you think he'll have model planes? Fighters like the ones Dad will be flying?
I'm not sure, darling, but he does have a son called Horace who's about your age. He might.
Cyril, you're in charge now. Children, you're all to listen to Cyril while we're away.
Why is he in charge? You're not in charge of me!
Robert, I am.
Cyril is about 15, Robert 11.
No, Dad.
What?
Dad, is there any way I can come with you?
Robert, who's the most important member of any mission?
You are, the pilot.
No, it's the navigator. The pilot will be lost without one.
Cyril and his sisters say goodbye to their mother.
Your mum and I need you to keep everyone on course.
You can count on me.
Robert's father straightens up and takes something out of his pocket.
So you always know where to find me.
He hands the brass object to Robert.
A compass.
Robert looks up at his dad, choked with emotion. His father bends down and gives him a hug.
I'm gonna miss you.
His father kisses the side of his head.
Come on you go.
They go to the train.
Look after yourself. Be a brave girl.
Cyril?
Promise me you'll do as Uncle Albert tells you.
Take that. There's another.
The train begins to pull out of the station. The children, Robert, Cyril, Jane, Anthea and the toddler, the lamb, all wave to their parents on the platform as it disappears into the distance.
After we left, Cyril was trying to show me who was boss. I didn't pay him any attention though, and I began to think, if I played my cards right, a summer in the country with no parents about could only mean one thing. Adventure.
The train is pulled by a maroon-painted steam locomotive, which has a tall black chimney with a polished brass steam dome just behind it. The train races through open countryside, leaving a billowing plume of white steam in its wake. The train thunders through some trees and under a bridge. Finally, the train pulls into Castletown Station.
Of course, I never dreamed just how amazing an adventure it would be.
As the train comes to a stop, the children and the other passengers disembark. Robert jumps down onto the platform ahead of the others and Cyril calls out to him.
Robert, wait!
Reluctantly, he does so.
Robert, what have I told you? Just wait on the platform.
Cyril passes baby lamb to Anthea and she puts him down. Jane picks him back up as Cyril and Robert unload their bags from the train.
Hold the doors! Hold doors, please!
As the train pulls away from the station, the children find themselves alone on the platform.
Can you see Uncle? He must be somewhere. I think it's a bit late. That's
sometime later, Robert carries two cases as he walks ahead of the others up a wet road. He puts the cases down and consults his compass. Robert hurries on ahead.
Robert, wait for us!
It starts to pour with rain.
I'm sure we're going the right way. Come on,
many times have you said that? I still don't understand why we had to leave home.
Jane, we're going on a secret mission behind enemy lines. The chances are that none of us will make it back alive.
Oh, Robert. Goodness.
They'll come at us from Zeppelins. We don't... Oh, look! It's the house!
A vast grey stone gothic mansion looms up ahead.
Yes! We've arrived!
It's Uncle's castle. Come on, you two.
Darling, can't we have it?
The children hurry up to the arched stone porchway in front of the house and ring the bell. A domestic servant, Martha, answers the door. She clutches a large spoon and is covered in feathers.
Good evening, madam. We're looking for our Uncle Albert. We are...
Five children?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. But you're not due till Friday.
Today is Friday.
It is? I have a goose in the oven. Goose is Thursdays. Oh, never mind. Come in, come in. Come on, come on, come on. Tuesday's duck, Wednesday's duck, Thursday's goose. Now put your cases down. It's duck, duck, goose. We must have had Wednesday on Tuesday and Monday on Sunday. It's just one day, I suppose. Last year we lost October. It's not an easy thing to do, you know, lose a whole month. I'll get you some towels and tell your uncle you've arrived.
Thank you.
Martha goes and Robert indicates to Cyril that she's got a screw loose. Cyril laughs, then picks up a book and sits by the open fire. Jane and Anthea go over to the bottom of the stairs and Robert flops on a sofa. He looks at a book and tosses it aside.
What a dump. It's scary. I don't like it very much.
I do. It's so gothic. Just like the Castle of Terror.
Reminds me of school. You probably love it, Cyril.
What was that?
Oh, nothing.
Cacophony, rumbles and grumbles, distant thunder, warm air rising, cold front, boom! Not expecting that, I dare say. What?
These are the children I was telling you about. Your nephews and nieces.
Impossible! Not due till Friday. Isn't that right, Horace?
Yes, Father, not due till Friday.
Today is Friday.
Mm-hmm. Can't be. Smell that. That's Thursday.
Uncle, it's me, Cyril. You came to my 8th birthday party. You gave me a subscription to Algebra Monthly.
Cyril? Cyril! No, Cyril was a much smaller boy.
But that was 5 years ago.
Was it? Oh, I should think he'd be about your age by now. I wonder what he's doing.
I could eat a whole goose by myself.
Well, if it is Friday, as you assert, then goose was yesterday, so you'll have to wait till next Thursday.
But there is a goose cookie, and today is Friday.
He gets a newspaper.
Ah, oh. Well, Martha, looks like Thursday's gone missing with last October. Well, well done, thank you.
Uncle Albert heads off.
Oh, your father. Top chap.
The children all look at Albert.
Very brave. Well, I'm off to unleash my thoughts onto the page. Many problems to solve. History will be the judge.
He disappears.
What was that?
Come along, children, I'll show you to your rooms. Anthea, is it?
Yes.
Oh, please, let me just take the little one. Up here, there we are. You poor things, you must be so exhausted.
Hello, Horace.
Hello.
Bespectacled, podgy Horace glares frostily.
I was taught never to talk to strangers.
But we're your cousins.
Yes, but you're strange.
Martha leads the children down a corridor.
In the morning, I'll give you a tour of the grounds. You're allowed everywhere, except the greenhouse. That's strictly off limits.
Why would a greenhouse be off limits? Maybe the plants are deadly, like in the Black Rose of Devil's Island. Maybe.
The greenhouse is off limits because I said it is. So just stay out of it, and everything will be fine. Here we go.
Martha shows the children to their rooms. The next morning it's grey and a wind vane turns in the breeze. The children stare out of a window.
Oh, look! It seems to have stopped drizzling.
Just in time for it to start raining much harder.
It could be worse.
Let's have a little bit of music.
Oh, I knew I should have hid that thing back at home. Oh no, there must be a wounded cat in the room. Jane, put that thing down and help me look. Here, kitty kitty.
Take that back.
You can't tell me what to do.
I can, and you jolly well know it.
Robert glares angrily at Cyril.
I hate it here!
He runs off.
He doesn't mean it. He's just missing home.
Am I that bad?
Cyril looks round.
Be honest.
Robert walks down a corridor.
Take that back. No chance.
A creepy portrait hangs on the wall behind him.
What a place. All summer, go mad too.
Looking rather nervous, he walks on down the corridor and clutches his stomach, which has started to rumble. In the dining room, Martha serves Horace with an enormous pie, which he eagerly tucks into. Uncle Albert sits at the other end of the long table, carving some meat as Cyril, Jane and Anthea come in.
Ah, children! I expect you could do with a spot of lunch.
Come on, sit down, sit down, sit down.
But before that second Saturday of the month, all know what that means. Second Saturday statutes, laws, edicts, regulations, rules. Exciting times, children. A chance to grasp the goblet of goodness.
Elsewhere, Robert rounds a corner in the corridor and walks on past a suit of armour standing by a wall. In the dining room, Uncle Albert produces a list.
Ah, yes. Rules. Delicious.
Doesn't look too bad.
Rule one. No running in corridors.
Robert runs along.
Rule two. You will tidy your rooms from top to bottom, side to side, up and down, round and round, and of course, back to front. Polish the woodwork, polish the paintwork, polish your homework. Rule three. Laundry. Three times a week. Very important. British Empire was built on clean pants, don't you? Clean pants and,
Mint sauce.
Don't be ridiculous, Horace. Rule four. Never, ever go into
the greenhouse.
So come on, don't delay, don't dilly-dally. Push on, go forth. Wait! One more rule. The Alpha and Omega, be all and end all. I am writing a book, Difficult Sums for Children. Therefore, in this house, absolute silence. Do not bring down the dragon's wrath.
Robert's found the greenhouse.
Now, did Martha say that we were not to go in here? Or that we were not to miss going in here? She wasn't very clear.
He steps inside and looks around. He examines a bust by the door, then turns round and sees a large statue of Pan in the middle of the greenhouse. Plant pots lie unattended and broken on the floor around it. Robert walks cautiously through the greenhouse and spots a vine on one wall.
Grapes!
He climbs up on a chair and picks some of the grapes. As he munches them, he sees a heavy wooden door set in the back of the plinth the statue of Pan rests on. Robert gets off the chair and goes over to the door. He tugs at the door handle, then sees the door is padlocked lower down. He tries the padlock, but it's shut fast.
Great. Laundry. These rules are mad.
Yes.
Jane looks at the long list.
We're never going to get through this. Not if there are 100 of us.
Look how long it is.
Breathless, Robert dashes in.
Where do you think Uncle keeps his really big hammers?
The others all exchange mystified glances.
What?
The greenhouse.
Robert, this is the one room we were told not to go in. Come back.
What's that?
I said this is the one room.
Cyril, I can't hear a word you're saying.
Robert, stop fooling around. Come here. Come here.
You were saying something about not being in the greenhouse?
Yes, Cyril. So, can we come in too?
All right, don't touch anything.
They all go inside.
Over here, look.
What is it now?
But it's locked.
Is it?
I wonder what's cleaned it.
I don't.
If you just let me borrow that hammer.
Forget it. We're guests, not burglars. Besides, I'm sure there's a perfectly good reason why the door's locked.
Anyone for grapes?
Yes, please.
Yes, please. I wonder Martha didn't want us in here.
Look at it, it's a mess.
Jane?
Thank you.
Catch! Cyril!
As Robert distributes the grapes, the lamb plays with the padlock on the door and it comes away in his hand. Cyril watches amazed as the lamb undoes the latch and opens the door.
Very nice.
How did he do that?
Robert, Jane and Anthea all look round at the lamb, who stares back.
Who cares? Let's explore!
Robert opens the door and steps inside. Cyril picks up the lamb.
Where's the lamb?
The girls follow Robert.
Oh, come on, Cyril. It's either this or laundry.
For a penny.
Holding the lamb, Cyril follows Anthea through the door. It leads to a staircase.
It's wonderful. I wonder where it leads.
It's so dark in here.
It
turn back if we see anything creepy crawling.
Agreed. Okay, agreed.
I wonder where this leads.
There's a tunnel just like this in the maze of Molidor. It's where Bertrand Bowl encounters a giant nine-legged talking spider.
Horrible.
Anthea, that's ridiculous. Everybody knows spiders have eight legs.
Robert leads the children down to the bottom of the spiral staircase.
I don't like it in here.
They emerge into a dark cavern.
Cyril, maybe we'll find a sunken ship. Or buried treasure.
Or maybe even a dead body.
Robert!
We can find our way back to the greenhouse.
Come on! I can see light!
There's a sea up ahead.
It's not raining.
They walk out of the cavern onto a beach.
Wait.
Look at it!
Jane, Anthea.
They look around and find themselves on a shoreline with a combination of sand and rocks.
Beautiful. Where are we? What happened to the bay? Cyril, come here, look at this!
Cyril puts the lamb down and goes over to Robert. He has his compass out and the dial spins around wildly.
What is it?
Right, this is uncharted territory, so we have to be careful. No one do anything.
Robert dashes off to the water's edge. Jane and Anthea run after him and chase him around the rock pools. Cyril comes over to them. He joins in trying to catch Robert too. Later, Robert hunts around in the rock pools. Then he and Jane throw stones into the sea. Now they twirl a length of seaweed for Anthea to skip over. Robert runs over to the mouth of the cavern, picks up a stone and puts it in his pocket.
Yes!
As the others walk over to join him, Robert sits down on what appears to be a rock partially buried in the sand. As Robert sits on the rock, he digs in the sand in front of it, but he jumps back when he hears a noise. Cyril looks round.
You shouldn't have eaten all those grapes.
It wasn't me. It was it. Help me lift it out.
What?
Lift this out.
What is it?
The rock he was sitting on.
It looks like an old turtle shell.
I can hear it breathing. Something's inside it.
It's alive.
Hey.
Come on.
I'm not sure.
Oh, come on.
This could be dangerous.
Robert thumps the shell.
I think it's asleep.
Look, whatever it is, we don't want to wake it up.
It's smoke! That's scary. It couldn't have.
They pull the shell upright.
One, two, three!
Yes, there it is again.
What's it saying?
It sounded like shovel. Yeah. Hello!
Do you want to lose your nose?
It could be a giant talking crab.
Suddenly, two antennae pop up out of the shell.
Look! A lobster!
The shell sprouts legs and runs away. A blue creature looks out of the shell.
Stay back!
Look, you have to stop talking to it. It could be dangerous.
I bet it has huge fangs and poisonous saliva. It's an ugly little monster.
It? Do you mean to tell me you do not know what a Samoyed is?
You're a what?
I am a Samoyed Crustacea Decapodlium Wishasaurus. Got it?
No.
I am a sand fairy.
Sand fairy?
Yeah.
I thought fairies had little ballet dresses and wings and wands.
What on earth have you been reading?
I'll call you Sandy.
Why?
Because we found you in sand.
Oh, you're so funny. Have your parents tried boiling you?
That's it. Come on.
Yeah, I don't like
Robert,
that boiling line,
now.
Do you? No, kids don't like that. Up you
come
go,
here.
You
Did you know
that
fairies in books can grant wishes?
All right. I will grant you your wishes. But I have a list of demands. My needs are minimal, but what I need is a stateroom with a sunken bath with those taps that go backwards and forwards. And I need a toothbrush made of gold. Not the bristles, of course, the bit you hold. Gold bristles were hurt by gums, you see. Yeah, I did that once. Anyway, I'd like white sand spread on the floor, preferably the sand from the Bahamas, and a shower cap.
The thing is, we don't have a palace.
And a yak.
Or any of those other things, do we?
With the Butterworths. All we have is a small terraced house in London.
We're just children.
Well, make a wish anyway.
I wish.
Stop. Wait. Okay. But... you've started the wish, you can't stop now. Make a wish, make a wish.
Second thoughts, we're going to leave this little man and go straight back to the house. It's getting dark and we've still got Uncle's list to get through.
A great idea. Let's go and tidy up for 14 hours.
That's it. Sound fairy?
You're still here?
Yes, and we wish. All the tasks on Uncle's list to be done by magic.
Okay, so you want me to give you extra hands?
No! No!
Here we go!
The sand fairy holds his breath and strains. In addition to his antennae, he has spiked white hair and a walrus-like moustache under his large blue nose.
Was that it?
Yeah, good, eh?
The children arrive back in the greenhouse.
Quick, come on, let's see if it worked!
Cyril carries the lamb. Jane runs into a room and finds Anthea.
Anthea, how did you get here so fast?
Anthea?
Yes?
The real Anthea walks in with the lamb.
Hey, you two, you'll never guess what's in our...
Oh. I don't believe it.
The duplicate Anthea is tidying up. In a bathroom, several robots are busy cleaning the tub, taps, windows and wall tiles. The children stare in amazement. They walk to the stairs, where an assortment of Roberts, Antheas and Cyrils are busy polishing the banisters.
Do you realise what this means? We'll never have to walk again! We're free!
As they walk down the stairs, a duplicate Jane walks by with some laundry.
Jane?
She appears not to hear Cyril and walks on past a duplicate Cyril and another lamb.
Wishes. Real wishes. Made a wish. And it came true. It's not supposed to happen.
She's right, you know. This is big. It's huge. It's immense. It's monumentally colossally ginormous.
Is that even a word?
Apparently it is now.
I hate to do this. It's for your own good.
Stop! Horace is coming.
You have to distract him. Quickly, go! Quick!
Well, it's you, horrible little child. Shouldn't you be cleaning my room?
Horace, it's time we got to know one another.
No, it isn't.
I used to think that myself. Here we are.
I'll start.
Robert and Horace walk into a gloomy dungeon-like basement.
Oh, great. Just thought my day was missing. Tour of a dark, smelly basement.
It's where I keep my monster collection.
Horace turns a light on, back on the stairs.
What's that noise? I can hear it.
I don't know.
Horace proudly shows Robert a starfish with an onion on top of it.
Be careful, don't get too close, you might get savaged.
By a dead starfish with an onion stuck on its head.
Not, it's called Megastarium, and it's a monster. They're all monsters, look.
Ooh, that was scary, very scary.
A closet full of Janes.
Oh no! It's me!
Oh, this is not good. If Uncle hears it before it. Here, wait there. I'll try and distract him.
I was hoping you could teach me the more finer points of monster,
Monster mastery?
Please,
you're in for a treat.
Cyril walks down a corridor and a grim-faced Uncle Albert appears in front of him.
Who dares sally forth to the dragon's lair?
It's Cyril, Uncle.
Yes, Cyril. Yeah, popular name these days. Seems every other boy I meet is called Squirrel. Cyril! Cyril!
Uncle Albert's eyes dart.
I've come to see what you're writing.
Really?
I like to do sums. The harder the better.
Lucky chap! Come in!
In the bathroom, the robots manically polish the taps.
Let us make maths your mistress. Ignite the mind. I am going to set you the most difficult sum you have ever seen. Exciting, eh?
He sifts through some papers.
Ah!
Uncle Albert examines a paper with a magnifying glass. In the bathroom, the robots polish so hard the taps on the sink and bath come off and water pours out everywhere. Cyril struggles with Uncle Albert's sum.
I know how you feel. It's beautiful, isn't it? There's no need to rush. Enjoy. Savor the sun. Let it wash over you.
Water floods out under the bathroom door into the corridor outside.
A
And once you gain its trust, it's yours for life.
The water swirls down the corridor and begins to cascade down the stairs. As Cyril walks up the stairs, he manages to drop a vase which smashes to pieces. The cleaning begins to degenerate into chaos. As Anthea walks over to the bottom of the stairs holding the lamb, Jane runs up to her.
Are you the real Anthea?
Yes, at least I think so.
Water cascades down through the banisters like a waterfall. The violin playing Jane's line the landing, making a cacophony.
Shrieking? Screeching? Ah! Nails down the blackboard! The dragon awakes!
Cyril hurries after Uncle Albert as he storms off to investigate. Water floods down the stairs and the duplicate children drop paperwork, plates and books as they mill about. The features of a portrait on the wall begin to look like the Sand Fairy.
Whoever is making that noise?
Then minus 82.
I am consequences.
Cyril follows Uncle Albert, desperately trying to work out the very hard sum. Outside, the sun begins to set behind the house. As the last rays of the sun disappear, the spell is broken and the duplicate horde of children disappear in little bursts of sparkling light. Anything they were holding or carrying crashes to the floor. The face of the portrait turns back to normal. Uncle Albert stalks down a corridor followed by Cyril.
Cosine law Canada action, meaning that the 86 is totally irrelevant.
Ah!
3,465,222.
Say that again.
3,465,222.
A prime number of the Zeeman series! Toppity, notchity, work, Squirrel, Cyril. It's my favourite series, although the Flugelstadt succession runs at a close second. I'll show you Dr. Flugelstadt's book. He went mad, you know, completely bonkers, lost his marbles, fell out of his tree, oak, I think.
A huge egg in the basement.
What's this one? No, wait, don't tell me. Eggosaurus.
No, Tyrannosaurus.
Anthea joins Jane and Cyril in the hall.
Come on, you two. If we start now, we might be able to finish by next Tuesday.
Just look at this place. How are we going to pay for the damage?
Not too bad. I mean, it's just these plates and that clock. This vase.
Jane picks up a fragment of a vase.
How expensive do you think a Ming vase would be? I know. We don't have to buy anything. We can wish for the things to be fixed. Good as new.
Martha.
What did it do today turned out to be?
Oh, it wasn't us. Honestly, it was the Sand Fairy.
Sand Fairy, huh?
No, she didn't say Sand Fairy. She said...
Safari.
Safari.
Yes,
we were
pretending to be on safari. And Cyril is an elephant.
He holds his arm like a trunk.
The safari, of course. Well, now, if we all do as I do, we can undo all this to-do before tomorrow. Come along, you lot.
Later, Jane sits writing a letter.
Dear Mummy, should Uncle's letter reach you before this one does? Robert says breakages are inevitable under the circumstances. Anyway, it is only the second week, and we've already found an amazing beach. And we found a strange thing. But it is nearly bedtime, so no more from me tonight. Your loving daughter, Jane. P.S. If you could have a wish come true, what would you have?
Jane looks thoughtful as she puts the top on her pen. Seen from outside, her window goes dark as she turns out the light. The next morning, the rain has stopped and the children, including Horace, are having breakfast together.
Bacon?
Yes, please. Okay.
Cyril serves Anthea a slice.
The Supersaurus was 200 feet high.
I know that. But if you want to see a real monster...
Ow! What was that for?
Boiled egg, Jane?
Yes, please.
Anthea passes her the eggs.
Thank you. So what did you two get up to yesterday?
Horace showed me his laboratory. And his collection of monsters. He's got dozens pickled in jars.
Oh, that's really disgusting.
Most of them are complete rubbish.
Hey!
But he has a dinosaur and it's in an egg. That's a secret. Now you have to tell me a secret of yours.
Well, yes.
Robert, no. Come here.
Hey!
Cyril hustles Robert away.
Put me down!
Horace scoffs a last mouthful and goes after them.
Hey, get up! What are you praying at?
Cyril, Anthea and Jane confront Robert.
You
to mention it,
so...
It's our secret.
And Horace is so nasty. He's odd, but he's not so bad when you get to know him. And he has his own laboratory.
Where he collects monsters and pickles them in jars?
Yes.
What do you think he'd do to it?
Yes. Good point. Don't mention it in front of the piccola.
What are you whispering about?
And what's it? It. It's a game of hide and seek. You it.
But, you count to 1,000 while we hide.
1,000? Isn't it usually 20?
Well, it's such a big house, and Jane and I are only girls.
Fine. 1, 2, 3.
I hate it having to say we are only girls.
Where are you going?
Here's a clue. It rhymes with hand hairy.
Oh, no. No way. We're not going back. You saw the trouble that wish got us into.
Oh, look. This must be the pole that's been sticking up Cyril's...
Back off. You can insult me all you like.
Thanks. But I'll save that for later.
Well, I'm going whether you're coming or not.
Anthea and Cyril follow after Robert, leaving Jane looking thoughtful.
Hand hairy.
She looks down.
Hand hairy?
She examines her hands.
Sand fairy!
Pendulous expression, furrowed brow, bad news?
This letter from your publisher.
Yes, yes, skimmed, scoured, pored over, content immaterial, impact inconsequential.
They say they want to make big changes to your book.
They do?
Yes, it seems difficult sums for children isn't catchy enough.
Catchy?
They're suggesting a new title, Counting the Fun with Charlie Chicken. They're replacing you with a chicken.
Ridiculous.
Of course it is. Write back and tell them immediately.
Right you are. Just give me the name of the chicken and the address of his coop.
No. Your publishers. You can't have a counting chicken in your book.
Of course not. No fingers. Can't count without fingers. No use. I mean, I suppose he could use wings. No, that's silly. He'd only get to 2. Well, Noah managed 2x2. Gosh, that flood must have been a terrible setback.
He walks over to the window and opens it.
Smells like rain.
Great changes afoot.
You can sign this one.
So, have you come to thank me for yesterday's wish?
I brought you these.
Ah, spaghetti. How kind.
That hole doesn't look very comfortable.
Yes, it is.
Would you like to come and sit next to me, like Flopsy? Here's my rabbit.
You have a rabbit called Flopsy? Has he got no spine? Your ability with naming things is not very good, child. Oh, here they all come.
Our wish didn't turn out the way we expected.
No.
Yes, our doubles turned the hall into a swimming pool.
Was anything damaged?
Damaged? It was absolutely
mess. Were the vases smashed to smithereens?
Yes.
And the floor flooded and dictionaries drenched?
There were.
And the house burned to the ground?
No.
House didn't burn to the ground? Well, I say you got off pretty lightly then, all things considered.
What?
The sand fairy gets up.
Not so fast, sand fairy!
You made those doubles were in the house on purpose, didn't you?
Look, it's not me. It's the rules, you know. You make a wish, it goes horribly wrong. And then you learn something valuable.
That's terrible. I don't need to learn anything.
Of course, everything is back to normal by sunset.
Why, of course?
Because wishes only last during the daylight.
So that's why our doubles disappeared. Why didn't you tell us that before?
And you didn't ask.
So can you fix everything we broke?
Oh, yes. But they'll only be broken again by sunset.
Great.
It's got a point.
So what you learn from this, you see, is... hello.
What do you think?
Ah, well...
A sketch.
Well, very good. I like use of light and shadow. It's very effective. Subject is hideous monster. Of course, as the sun here melts, the monster here's shocked, his hair's on end. And... oh, it's me.
I know. Let's ask for money. Then we can pay to get everything fixed.
Good idea.
Wishes for... let's not go crazy. Just enough to cover the breakages.
I think we should ask for gold. Yes.
Gold.
I wish we had buckets of the stuff.
Oh, okay. So, buckets of gold.
The sand fairy holds his breath. Horace.
398, 399, 400. 999, 1,000.
He gets up off his chair and looks around the hall.
Ready or not, here I come!
The children go back to the greenhouse.
I said, let's not go crazy.
Oh, shut up! Hurry up!
He's stuck.
Push it harder, Cyril! Push!
The greenhouse is full of buckets of gold coins.
Buckets of the stuff!
The children carry some of the buckets down a corridor.
Hello!
Look, he must see the gold.
I know.
Come
out,
come out. Wherever you are. You can't hide forever, you know.
He comes round the corner.
Aha! I found you! I know. New game. You're it.
The children don't move because of the buckets of gold hidden behind them.
Oh, come on! Don't be sore losers!
New rules. The winner gets a head start.
Horace frowns.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Horace runs off to hide and the children walk off carrying the lamb and the gold. Horace hides himself under a table and waits for the children to come looking. Hearing the children outside, Horace scrambles out from under the table. He looks through the window and sees the children walking past. Horace spots the gold.
You got the list?
Yes, Cyril.
Good. So when we get into town, we're going straight for the antique shop?
Yes, Cyril.
And we're going to go straight in and then straight out?
Yes, Cyril.
And we're not going to get distracted by anything. Got it?
Yes, Cyril.
However, in town, the children are drawn to an ice cream stall and watch hungrily as the ice cream man serves a customer with a cornet topped with a glacé cherry.
Thank you.
Cyril snaps out of the ice cream-induced trance.
Come on, we're here to buy vases, not ice cream.
Let's go and buy the vase.
5 pounds with all the trimmings.
Robert!
And keep the chain.
What's a child doing with all of this gold? It must be fake.
No, it's not, is it? We made wish, didn't you?
Robert covers Jane's mouth with his hand. Later, they watch as Cyril and Anthea try to buy a vase in an antique shop.
No, he's taking back the vase. It was just like the one we broke.
He doesn't want to take the gold.
Disappointed, Robert wanders off.
Hmm? Not again, not...
Robert sees a flying corpse captain nearby and runs over to him.
Dad!
The officer turns around and Robert's face falls as he sees it's not his father.
Sorry, Dad.
The captain tousles Robert's hair and goes and joins some other airmen marching past. Jane, Cyril, Anthea and the lamb find Robert.
I thought... It's okay.
Anthea squeezes his shoulder.
It's all right.
You know what we need? To fill our faces. What do you say?
But the ice cream and he didn't want our money. Neither did the man in the antique shop.
Well, there must be someone willing to take the heap of gold, no questions asked.
The ears of a car dealer, Mr. Peasemarsh, prick up. The children walk into his establishment under a sign saying, Peasemarsh, the name you can trust.
Look at that one.
It's nice, isn't it?
Cyril is transfixed by a bright red sports car.
He's trying to say something.
Cyril?
It's the car. Something to do with the car.
That's not a car. That is the Portman Speedster 3000. And according to Motor Car Monthly, the 3000 is the fastest production motor of all time. We're talking 8 horsepower.
Well, if it's so wonderful, why don't you just buy it?
Yeah, buy the car, Cyril.
Buy the car.
At the house, Horace runs into Martha.
Don't step on my floor.
I need to speak to my father. Get out of my way.
Oh, well, it must be very important if you want to disturb him at work.
It's about those children.
Oh, really? And what children would you mean?
My cousins.
Horace holds up one of the gold coins. The children sit in the Portman Speedster.
Look, Cyril, this one goes at 80 miles per hour. Dad would love this.
Get off.
We were just...
I beg your pardon.
We
would like to buy a motor car. That one over there.
Of course, sir. And perhaps sir would like to take the aforementioned automobile for a test drive.
Great idea.
There is just a small matter of a deposit in case of misadventure.
Oh, ours are always misadventures.
I dare say.
Listen up.
They offer Brill Cream Mustachioed Mr. Peasemarsh 2 buckets of gold coins and his eyes light up.
Yes.
Cyril and Robert drive off in the Portman Speedster with Mr. Peasemarsh in the rumble seat at the back.
Does he know Cyril can drive?
He can't. Come on!
Anthea and Jane chase after them. Cyril drives the car erratically towards the town square. Mr. Peasemarsh begins to look very flustered. The car careers into the square as a group of nuns are crossing it. Mr. Peasmarsh grabs at the steering wheel and the car ploughs through the middle of the nuns. One of the nuns' habits gets tangled over Cyril, Robert and Mr. Peasmarsh's heads. The antique dealer looks up and stares open-mouthed as the car races past his shop window. He puts a Toby jug down and the face on the jug takes on the features of the sand fairy. The car knocks over a ladder, leaving a man clinging to a flagpole. The car ploughs into a florist's stall, then careens into a statue of Dr. Livingstone. A large bronze globe falls off the statue and rolls towards the antique dealer's shop. The fearful antique dealer sees it and drops the vase the children had tried to buy as the globe comes to a halt. Cyril and Robert.
Thanks for the test drive.
Yeah.
Halt! You'll pay for this, you little...
Good afternoon, Mr. Peasmarsh.
Sergeant! Just the man. These hooligans have wrecked my motor car. This one here.
Oi!
He's driving like a
child? Behind the wheel of your motor car?
Children? Well, this one here... He swore he was 27. He's got a wife and three kids in Winchester, haven't you?
I'm 11.
Yeah, you and your gold. Nice like you are. Tempting honest car dealers with your stolen gold.
Martha.
That's quite enough. These children are with me.
Oh, an accomplice, I'll wager. Well, I don't think they're going to wriggle out of this one. Allow me.
As the sun goes down, the buckets of gold the children are hiding behind their backs disappear.
Gone.
Come along, Mr. Peasmarsh.
It's gone.
I'm sure there's a perfectly good explanation for this, but we're going to have to go down the...
I was going to be a policeman. Never had the faith.
Horace, I trust this isn't a childish prank. I'm in the middle of Chapter 12, The Joy of Quadratic Equation. Look, I'm just getting a bit.
No, it's true. The children, the gold and the greenhouse. I have them. Will they be sentenced to 20 years hard labour?
The children come in. Uncle Albert puts his hand over Horace's mouth to shut him up. Horace bites Uncle Albert's hand.
Unusual hour. Nocturnal excursion. Disheveled youngsters. Ripe odour. Odd situation. Martha, explain.
We were just taking the dog for a walk, sir. Isn't that right, children?
Yes, Martha.
Ah, the howl of the hounds. How running with a pack of an autumn morning, eh? Fresh air, waggity tails, eh? Bow, wow, wow. How much is that doggy in the,
We don't have a dog, Father.
Use your imagination, Horace.
The gold. Ah, the gold coins. Nobody move.
Nobody does as Horace searches through his pockets for the coin he found. It's gone.
Horace! Horace! You're becoming eccentric.
Come along, children.
You may be able to fool my father, but I have enough proof to send you all away to prison. The rest of your lives.
The children follow Uncle Albert and Martha upstairs. In their room, Jane comes away from the window and sits on the edge of Cyril's bed. Anthea reads a book and Robert lounges in a chair.
Phew. What a day it's been. Could it be worse?
Worse? How could it have been worse? You keep getting us into trouble.
Stop picking on me! Besides, it didn't take long to get you behind the wheel.
Why do you have to be such a pain?
Why do you have to fuss over and about?
You think you're so grown up, but you're not.
Stop it! Don't fight! Please!
Cyril stares at the ceiling.
I was put in charge.
Well, that may be, but it doesn't mean I have to listen to
you. Yes, it does.
But no, it doesn't.
Yes, it
no,
does.
No, it doesn't. You're not Dad.
Hello. Well, now, what's all this commotion?
Martha looks around.
So many sad faces. Well, I may have something that might cheer you up. A little bit of magic.
No more magic, please.
Abra Chihuahua.
She produces a letter.
It's addressed to all of us.
I recognise the writing. It's from Dad.
I've put it, Cyril. Go on, you have to. Come on,
open it quick.
And all the kerfuffle, I almost forgot.
Cyril reads it.
My darling children, I hope you are all happy, healthy, and up to plenty of mischief, and soaking up all the joys of the country.
It's got the soaking part right.
Shh. Jane, I hope you're enjoying your violin. However hard it is to learn now, I'm sure it's something you'll be glad of one day.
Jane looks down.
Anthea, I'm thoroughly enjoying the novel you hid in my luggage. The plummeting pilot of Postlethwaite. All the boys in the squadron are lining up to borrow it. Robert,
The Sopwith's a bit tricky in the air, but she's a beauty. I wish I could fly over to see you. Let's all hope it won't be long. And Cyril, these are difficult days for us all, but I know I can count on you. Whatever happens, you must stand by one another. Now, give the lamb a big kiss from me. I'd better grab some shut-eye as I'm on dawn patrol. All my love always. Dad.
The children all look sad as they think of their absent parents. Robert takes the letter and looks at it for a moment, then turns to Cyril.
Read it again, Cyril.
Cyril takes it and nods. The next morning, Uncle Albert carries a parcel over to Martha on the stairs.
Martha? Unexpected guest. Just arrived. On a flying visit, I suppose.
I don't know about this.
A guest, sir?
Yes. Professor Charles Chicken, University of Exford. Now, I was at Exford. I don't remember a chicken.
It's from your publisher. They propose giving away one free puppet with every book purchased.
One free with every book? Ridiculous concept. That'll never catch on.
That's what I said.
Chicken.
Oh. All right. Today's a new day.
Chicken.
A fresh start.
Eggs.
Or making another wish.
Math.
Not a chance.
What? Cyril and I have been discussing it, and we've agreed from now on to leave the Sand Fairy alone.
But I drew it another picture.
Look.
We can't leave it alone. Think of all the wishes we'd be giving up.
No. No more wishes. It's over. Promise me, Robert, please.
All right, I promise.
His fingers are crossed.
So what do we do instead?
We're going to make friends with Horace.
Why?
Why not?
Because he's so nasty.
In Horace's basement laboratory, Horace holds a naked doll with some wooden tongs and immerses it in a large beaker of acid. The acid bubbles and boils. As Horace pulls the doll out of the beaker, it breaks in half at the waist. Horace dips the doll back in the acid until only the head is left.
Who's there?
The children open the basement door.
Hello.
Oh,
it's you lot.
We've come to see if you'd like to play with us today.
What, so you can have another game of hide and seek and run off without me?
We're sorry about that.
The children walk over to Horace.
So what do you say? How about we make a picnic and go down to the sea?
Oh, I wish I could. I really, really do. The truth is, I don't like you.
We want to be your friends.
I don't need friends. But I do need test subjects for my experiments.
He holds up the doll's head.
Horace, don't be silly. Put that down. Put that down.
Make me.
Horace, put those down. Stop.
Horace advances on the children, brandishing the head between his tongs. The children run for it.
This is going well. Do you think he's all free yet?
Horace pursues them. The children run into the hall and bolt up the stairs. The children run down a corridor with Horace hot on their heels. They race past Martha, who's holding the lamb.
Oh, what's going on here?
Just playing with the other children, Martha.
Oh, that's good. Good boy, Horace. Carry on.
The children run up more stairs.
Up here, quick!
As Cyril, Anthea and Jane dash up another flight of stairs and duck into an attic room, Robert runs off back the way they came. Cyril shuts the attic door. Horace charges up and listens outside.
I think we're okay.
Yes. Oh, you do you?
If you don't let me in on your little secret, I won't let you out.
Horace locks the attic door. Cyril tries the handle, but the door won't budge. Frustrated, he turns away, and the girls try. On the other side of the door, Horace smiles to himself. Jane and Anthea give up on the door.
We're trapped.
No, we can't be.
Cyril walks into the attic room and looks around.
I wonder what happened to Robert.
Robert walks into the greenhouse and opens the wooden door behind the statue of Pan. He has a quick look round, then goes inside. In the attic, Anthea is trying to pick the door lock. Jane sits playing with a lace butterfly she's found. Anthea turns to Jane.
I need a longer pin.
A thought occurs to Jane.
I might have something. What about this?
She stands up and hands Anthea her scarf pin.
Here.
they sprout wings.
Oh my gosh, I've got wings.
So soft.
Oh, so white.
Wow.
Cyril has wings as well.
Oh, it's the little...
What?
Well, he must have made a wish.
That boy is out of control. I mean, I don't know how I'm going to cope. What am I going to tell Mum? I mean, look at you. What were you thinking?
I'm going to France to see Dad.
France?
His letter said he wished he could fly to see us. Well, he can't, but we can fly to him. Come on!
Robert, no!
This way!
Robert has sprouted wings too and flies away from the attic window. Cyril leaps out after him, followed by Antia and Jane. As Uncle Albert sits working in his study, he glances out of the window and sees the children flying by. He frowns. Cyril and the girls follow Robert up into the clouds. Robert flies up through the clouds and on into the open sky above. As he does so, he runs into a German Zeppelin squadron. A startled lookout on board one of the giant aircraft spots him and shouts into a communication tube. The children fly up alongside one of the giant aircraft and watch as it thunders by. As Robert backs away from the Zeppelin, he bumps into Anthea. The lookout shouts into the communication tube as the children fly underneath the Zeppelin. They emerge on the other side and the Zeppelin carries on its way in formation with the others. Robert banks away to his left. Anthea and Cyril follow after Robert, but Jane lags behind and gets in the path of an oncoming Zeppelin. As the aircraft bears down on her, Robert flies back and pushes her out of the way of the Zeppelin. Cyril and Anthea watch anxiously as the Zeppelin passes by. Once it's gone, they see Robert and Jane flying back towards them. Horace unlocks the attic door.
Much against my better nature, I've decided to let you out.
Still dressed in his lab apron and gloves, bespectacled Horace steps inside the deserted attic room and looks around. He looks at the open window, then turns and goes as Martha calls.
You, children. Where are you, dears?
Horace comes down the stairs from the attic.
Ah, Horace. Have you seen your cousins?
No. The only rational conclusion is they flew out the window.
As the children fly over the North Sea, the sun begins to set.
What were you thinking? We could have been killed!
To see Dad! Run, just a few miles that way!
It's dangerous!
And too late. We have to get back. Now!
Cyril leads the way and the children fly down through the clouds. In the house, Martha looks out of the window. The children fly low above the water. As the sun sinks lower, sparkles of light spread from their wings as the magic begins to fail.
Go down!
No, you're not! Keep up with me!
They desperately try to keep going as their wings fade away into nothing. At the last moment, the sand fairy appears in the sky behind them and blows them in over the land. Martha hurries to the front door and opens it to the children. She hands each a blanket as they step inside.
Oh, come in. Here you are,
Robert.
There you are.
Gosh,
look at the state of you. Filthy.
I think I landed on Uncle's roses. He's going to be so angry.
Come here, children. Come here. Now, I'm sure that all will be well. But we must hope. We must believe.
Mummy!
Come
on!
Mummy!
Did you get all that?
Yes, I did.
Cyril frowns.
Something's wrong.
It's your father.
He's here.
No, Robert, he's not. His plane went down behind enemy lines several days ago. He's missing.
No. It's not true.
Robert stares at his mother for a moment, then runs off. In the children's room, he pulls his suitcase out from under his bed and opens it. He searches for the compass, but it's not there. He looks in a drawer, but to no avail. His mother comes in.
Robert?
It's gone!
What have you lost?
The compass! I left it in my drawer, but it's not here.
It'll turn up somewhere. Come here.
You don't have to worry. Dad's all right.
Yes.
No, really, he isn't missing. He can't be. He must be on a secret mission behind enemy lines.
It's all right to be upset.
I'm not upset. I have to go now.
He runs off and bumps into Cyril in the corridor outside.
We have to help Dad.
Look, I know. I know you want to. But we just have to wait for news.
Wait.
Yeah, I'm sure everything...
Wait!
Robert, I...
Robert dashes off and Cyril stares after him. On the beach, Robert digs sand out from around the sand fairy's shell. He pushes the shell upright in the sand and sits back on his heels as a bleary-eyed sand fairy emerges from his shell.
Oh. Why have you woken me?
I lost something.
Well, did you indeed? Something precious. And you think I can help you to find it?
With a wish.
Well, of course.
I wish...
No, stop. You've had all your wishes today. I gave you all wings. That's not an easy thing to do, you know. Wings is a big job. You might show some gratitude.
I'm very grateful, but Sam Ferry, I do need this wish.
Well, all right. I can grant your wish, but when dawn comes, not before.
But you'll do it.
Yes. But child, what then? The wish will fade at sunset. You know that.
Maybe this wish won't fade.
But you know it will.
What's the point in wishes that don't last?
Magic fade. That's its nature. I can show you the way, but in the end, it's up to you. As the years go on, your moments of magic will become less and less. And before you know it, you too will have forgotten. Forgotten all this. Forgotten me. And the magic will have faded.
I won't. I'll never forget.
We shall see. Now, go to your bed and let me go to mine.
Robert doesn't move.
You're not going. Have you turned to stone?
Do you think he's looking up at the same sky?
Well, I expect so, unless he's been whisked off to a different galaxy. Which I am sure he has not, you know. Very tricky, that. Galaxy's a big job.
Robert makes to lie down beside the sand fairy.
Could you move over a bit?
Hey! What are you doing? Get off!
Tomorrow will come quicker if I stay with you tonight.
No, it won't. It comes at a very similar speed. No matter where you come.
Okay. Good night.
Look, you better not snore.
The sand fairy looks down at Robert and sighs.
Terrific. I hope you appreciate this.
As Robert lies asleep on the sand beside the sand fairy, Horace emerges onto the beach from the tunnel leading back to the greenhouse. He looks around, blinking in the moonlight, then adjusts his specs with a pudgy finger and grins to himself. The next morning, Robert wakes up on the beach next to the sand fairy's shell. He sits up and looks around.
Morning, sand fairy. I can make my wish.
He looks in the shell.
Fairy?
The shell is empty.
Sand Fairy!
In the children's room, Cyril wakes up. He sits up in bed, looks around and sees Robert's unslept in bed. In Horace's basement laboratory, jars of specimens bubble and a Bunsen burner flickers away in the gloom. The Sand Fairy lies on his back, strapped to a slab nearby. Horace's gloved hand selects a sharp knife from a selection of instruments as Robert runs in.
I knew it! That had to be you!
Ah, Robert, you're just in time for the dissection.
Robert runs over.
How did you find out about the Sand Fairy?
All thanks to you, I'm afraid. Last night when you went to the greenhouse, I followed you.
For years I've wondered why I was never allowed in there, but now I know. I'm not sure if this Sand Fairy of yours is a crustacean or a decapod or...
Let it go. I need it to grant me my wish.
Wish? What are you talking about?
I'm a sand fairy! Hey! There's a tiny clue in the name.
It can talk.
Yeah, you should hear me sing.
As Robert approaches, Horace holds up the compass.
Call it extra insurance.
The children's mother and Uncle Albert.
By Charles Chickenton, sound episode right up.
Ah!
Tea?
Yes, thank you.
If I'm not interrupting anything.
No, no. May I present my esteemed colleague, Professor Charles Chicken, M.A., B.S.C., E.G.G. Not a lot going on behind that beak.
Horace brandishes the knife.
I wonder where the wishes come from. Is it a gland?
Hey.
Perhaps there's something about its brain.
Oh, hello. Good afternoon.
Maybe I should slice it down the middle. No!
I recognize you, Horace. You're not like other children.
I should hope not.
No, you're like some crazy kid that's experimenting on things in the basement. Oh, that is you.
Enough! It is time. Wait! If you slice it open, it can't give you a wish. Are you suggesting that I not perform a proper exploratory dissection?
Yes, I am for that idea. Let's have a vote, shall we? All in favour of the non-slicing open approach, say aye. Aye!
Surely the best way to find out where a wish is coming from is to ask for one.
What could possibly go wrong?
Surprisingly good thinking, Robert. And then we can study the wish under strict laboratory conditions. But what to wish for?
What a delicious monster collection you have.
And now I have you to complete it.
Oh, no. As fine a prize as I am, you are yet missing one vital piece. Nice egg. Tyrannosaurus, if I'm not mistaken. Just make one little wish. Come on, Horace. You know you want to.
Okay. I wish for the egg to hatch.
The sand fairy holds his breath and the egg begins to shake on its stand. Horace watches, smiling expectantly. Suddenly, the egg stops moving and Horace frowns in frustration.
That's rubbish.
I know you don't trust the sand fairy, Cyril, but we have to make
a wish. Cyril,
where have you been?
Sand fairy. But that's where we're going.
No, you can't. He isn't there.
What are you talking about?
Robert stares at Cyril.
You've been to it already, haven't you?
No,
you've
yes,
wasted the
Robert,
wish.
I was trying to help.
Oh, what
have
you
Robert,
done?
You should have come to
I
us first.
I was doing
first.
It for Dad.
But Horace followed me. I had to do it because you don't care.
What do you mean?
You idiot. Of course I care. We all care, no. But you...
Cyril grabs him.
You had to ruin everything as usual. You're the one who doesn't care, Robert. Leave him. That's what he wants. Ruined everything.
Don't go, please. Not too late.
Cyril looks round.
I've been trying to tell you. It's in the basement.
As Horace sharpens a knife, the Tyrannosaurus egg cracks open behind him.
Here we go, Horace. I promise you a dinosaur, and you shall get what you deserve.
A huge Tyrannosaurus Rex materializes in the darkness behind Horace.
This is Gerald.
Horace turns and sees the dinosaur.
He dribbles a bit, because he's only two.
The children run into the basement.
Come in, children, come in! It's all right. He's only interested in Horace.
There's something.
Now, children, this is an example of what we in the wish game call a bad wish. Very bad, even badder than the bad ones.
Sam Fairy.
Yes.
Sam Fairy, make the wish stop.
Ah, just let him gobble him up. He's hungry. The kid's delicious.
He's a goner.
Gerald eyes Horace like a hungry dog eyeing a sausage. The children watch fearfully as Gerald opens his mouth, displaying rows of sharp teeth. Upstairs, Uncle Albert and the children's mother are sitting reading.
Did you hear that frightful noise?
Sorry, probably me. Jippy Tummy.
As Jane stares at the dinosaur, she has an idea.
I know what to do.
She walks to the workbench.
Jane...
She picks up a violin and begins to play.
Jay?
Gerald looks round as the children walk slowly towards him.
Music soothes the savage beast. I read it in one of your books, actually.
I take it all back. She's wonderful.
Yes, keep it up, Jay.
Fantastic.
Oh, no.
Take back all I just took back.
Gerald winces at Jane's awful playing.
He falls out of the shadow! It's killing me!
The sand fairy takes a deep breath and blows a stream of golden light particles at Gerald, who, having covered Horace in slobber, disappears into the ether. Horace collapses on the floor.
I'm lightheaded now. I'm ventilating.
Horace!
The children run to Horace.
Thank God that's over.
Horace is in a daze.
Hello?
What's wrong with him?
Hello?
We have to get him to Mum, quick. She'll know what to do.
Nails at the table, you know?
I'll take him. Until you make the wish.
Just...
Sam Fairy!
Kid with a grease. Hello. Is that your mother?
It's okay.
You come to do my nails? It's the light buffing, thank you.
He's completely out of his head.
I need a monkey wrench.
It's made him too weak. We have to get him back to the beach as quickly as possible.
Or maybe just a monkey with a wrench.
Oh, quick, out here. I know how to save Dad.
We have to make another wish.
It's not enough.
After what you've put us through. All the wishes have been all about you.
Not anymore.
Used to be one during the war.
What's all right, then.
Not now.
You lot head to the beach. Yes, the I'll take Horace to Mum.
Come on,
Horace.
You'll never make a dance troupe.
Hello. Are you the three wise monkeys? I'm Captain Spikey.
Robert turns to Cyril.
Wait. You're right. I have wasted the wishes. You'll go and see Dad, and I'll take Horace. But you've got to make sure Dad gets his compass.
Hello, sir.
So he'll know where to find us. Come on, Horace. I've got you, Sand Fairy.
Hello. You're my favourite one of the bunch, you know.
Got you, too.
Well, you're my favourite one of the bunch, too. And you're very tall.
Come on.
Yes, just burp me once.
Steady. Gently does it.
That's it. There you are. That was awful.
They put the sand fairy in his shell.
That's better. There's no place like a mobile home.
Are you strong enough to grant us our wish now?
Well, I'm sorry, but that mad scientist cousin of yours has made the wish for today. You're going to have to wait till tomorrow,
which is...
My birthday, actually, as a matter of fact, I'll be 22.
We can't wait till tomorrow. It might be too late by then.
Yeah.
Really? All right, well, maybe I've got something down here. Could help. This is a big book of wishes. This should help. Okay. Here we go. Ingenious wishes, instant wishes, interminable wishes, intellectual wishes, interrupted wishes. Here we go. This looks promising. Ah, yes. Addendum C, regular 7. It being wholly inappropriate to reinstate full wish-giving status, subject to all parties being of sound mind and limb. Ah, there you are.
And where exactly is that?
I think it means you haven't had a whole day's wish, contractually speaking. Therefore, you do have some wish allowance left over.
Thank you.
Now, you'd better be quick about it.
Yes. Okay, Sand Fairy.
Cyril glances at Anthea.
We wish for our dad to come home safely. And that's all.
Well, if you're sure that's what you want.
The children hold hands.
Holding hands. Nice touch.
The Sand Fairy holds his breath and a plane appears overhead.
What's that?
Anthea points to the biplane, a Sopwith camel, as it banks round towards the beach. Cyril's face lights up and he and the other children run towards the plane as it swoops in low to land on the sand. The airman, clad in a sheepskin flying suit, gets out of the plane and walks towards the children.
Look! I think it's Dad! Come on, quick! Come on, Anthea!
Come on!
They run to him.
Daddy!
The airman takes off his flying helmet, revealing it to indeed be the children's father. He spots the children running along the shore towards him, and he starts to run towards them. When they meet, their father hugs Jane and Cyril to him. Anthea, carrying the lamb, brings up the rear.
Oh, what's happening? I don't understand it. I get here. Oh.
Hey!
Has she been reading one of your novels?
Well, that's that. She won't sleep now.
Where's Robert?
With Horace and his mother.
He's in shock, but he'll be okay. Did the right thing bringing him to me. Now, what happened?
As she tucks Horace into bed, Robert rushes out. He runs into the greenhouse and down the stairs to the beach.
I still don't believe I'm here. You wait till your mother finds out.
She doesn't know about this place.
No one does except us.
Well, that's all right.
We'll surprise her and Robert later.
Cyril looks up awkwardly.
There isn't going to be a later.
His father looks round at him and Cyril looks down.
We haven't much time. Only until the sun sets.
Jane hugs her dad.
I want this wish to last forever. Please, Daddy. I want you to stay.
As Robert runs across the beach, Cyril holds out the compass.
It's Robert's idea.
He puts the compass in his father's hand. Still some way off, Robert runs towards his father and the others. Hearing him, his father turns towards Robert, but as he makes to walk towards his son, he fades away to nothing in a cloud of sparkling gold light. Cyril hangs his head and hugs Anthea and Jane. Robert stares at where his father had stood, then crouches down, hanging his head. The screen fades to black. The next morning, the children's mother is sitting on the edge of Horace's bed, mopping his brow. The door opens and the children come in, and their mother indicates that they should be quiet. Anthea comes over to her.
How is he?
Martha's been up with him all night. I told her to take a rest. I don't know what's wrong with him. He just keeps muttering about monsters and sand fairies.
Maybe you should have a rest too.
Yes. We'll look after Horace.
For a bit.
I'm sure I am quite tired.
It's okay.
Robert turns to his mother.
Mum, Dad's okay. I know it.
He smiles reassuringly and she gives his shoulder a squeeze before going.
Horace, can you hear me?
Horace!
Robert,
he's up now.
Horace sits bolt upright in bed.
Here, have some.
What is it?
It's medicine. It's very good for you. I made it myself.
Perhaps not, Jane. We need to talk.
Yes. About the dinosaur. And the wish. And it. It was all real. It wasn't a dream.
Yes, and it has to be our secret.
But the world must know.
The world doesn't have to know.
Yes. We could write a classified report, bury it in red tape for 40 years and deny everything. I like it.
Or we could just keep it to ourselves.
I've never had a secret to share with anyone before.
Cyril looks over at Robert and gives him a nod. Robert turns to Horace.
Well, now you have us.
Robert proffers his hand. Horace takes it and they shake. Uncle Albert goes to answer the front door.
Allow me, my dear.
The children, their mother and Martha all crowd round to see who it is. Uncle Albert opens the door to the ice cream seller, who holds up 6 ice creams.
Ah. Familiar face. Stout fellow, Mr. Bialy.
Butcher, there, baker, there, candlestick maker.
I heard about, well, you know, poor children. So I thought these might cheer them up.
Uncle Albert takes the ice creams.
Very kind indeed.
There you are, one each.
The children's mother turns to them.
The papers say it's safe to go back to London. Apparently, a fleet of zeppelins were turned back. Rather odd. The pilot said he saw angels. So I think it's time we went home.
The sand fairy opens his shell.
Hey! Hey! Turn that light out! Don't you know there's a war on?
There are ribbons in his hair. The sand fairy disappears into his shell and reappears without the ribbons.
Well, so it's you again. What's he doing here?
I'm really sorry for trying to cut you up into little pieces.
Oh, well, never mind. It was fun. Apology accepted.
Here, have one of these.
Suppose you want to make today's wish.
No,
we don't.
Don't want a wish?
Jane,
no. I've never heard such a thing. Surely I can tempt you with one teeny little baby wish.
We've decided not to make any more of them.
Well, that's quite possibly the most sensible thing I've heard in 8,311 years.
Catch! We've come to say goodbye. We're going home.
Going home? I've just started to have fun.
But I made you this. It's a birthday card.
Well, how did you know?
You told us.
Oh, yes.
Here you are, Robert.
Don't get many cards these days. You know how it is after your 6,523rd birthday. You just stop.
You don't look that old.
No, I drink a lot of moisturiser.
And you can't have a birthday without a present.
Ah, brown paper, my favourite.
You have to unwrap it.
Yes, I knew that. Ah.
He undoes a blue ribbon and takes out a teddy bear.
It's...
He's called Brian. He's to keep you company.
And now for the best bit.
Hello, Brian.
Brian.
Hello, Brian. Not very chatty, is he?
Cyril takes a birthday cake out of a basket.
Happy birthday to you.
No.
Happy birthday to you.
The sand fairy blows the candles on his cake out. Later, he and the children lean back against his shell, surrounded by empty cake plates. The lamb puts a bucket down and the sand fairy burps.
Well, that was the best birthday I've ever, ever had.
Come on, yellow. It's time to leave.
Except when I was 15 and I was given a yak.
Come on, horse.
Look, I would help to clean up, you know, but I've got a bad leg.
Goodbye, sand fairy. I'm going to really miss you.
I will miss you too, child.
She gives him a kiss.
Well, hang on, you're not going, are you? What?
You could come with us. Cyril and I would move in with the lamb. We fill our room with sand for you.
There's only six.
You do that for me? That's very kind of you, child. But
Robert nods.
I understand.
Goodbye, child.
Bye.
Anthea crouches down.
Sand fairy, when you blew out your candles, what did you wish for?
Me? Make a wish? You must be joking. Goodbye.
Let's go.
Goodbye, Sam Fairy.
Come on.
I'll miss you.
I'll take this.
Bye,
Horace. Bye, Sam Fairy.
Jane blows him a kiss.
Goodbye, Sam Fairy.
Come on, Jane.
The children walk off, leaving the Sam Fairy a lonely little figure on the beach next to his shell. Dressed in a heavy raincoat and balaclava against the driving rain, Uncle Albert turns the hand crank on his car outside the house. Try as he might, the engine won't start. So he stomps back into the house where the children and their mother are gathered waiting to leave.
Water on the carburetor or a sandwich. There were suspicious crumbs around the crank handle. Not to worry. I've got a book here somewhere. Excuse me, Orif. Or did I eat it? I mean the sandwich, not the book, although I have devoured many a book over the last few years, haven't I? And this isn't helping things, is it?
Does this mean we're staying? I just want to go home.
Cyril turns to Jane.
We'll be home soon.
Children, I'm sure your uncle will fix the problem. In the meantime, best stand behind something flame-resistant.
I know. Let's play a game.
How about hide and seek? I've had a lot of practice lately.
All right, Horace. Hide and seek it is.
Yay. I'll be it.
Good.
One, two, three, four.
As Robert counts, the other children and their mother run off to hide. Robert peeks out from behind his hands for a moment, then carries on counting.
10, 11, 12... 13,
Martha gets up from her chair 14, beside the fire and wanders off 15, with her knitting. Robert 16, keeps his eyes covered.
17, 18, 19,
20.
Robert takes his hands away from his eyes and sees his father in his pilot's uniform smiling down at him. Robert gets up and touches him to make sure he's real.
Dad!
He and his father hug and Robert smiles delightedly. His father kisses him on the head. Cyril and the other children come into the hall and see their father.
Robert!
Delighted, they rush to him.
Dad!
Daddy!
Cyril!
Dad!
Their mother comes down the stairs and she kisses her husband. Martha and Horace watch as the family are reunited and Uncle Albert comes back in from the outside. Robert's dad turns to him and hands him the compass. Uncle Albert pats Robert on the shoulder as he walks past the family who are locked in a group hug. Martha closes the front door against the rain. A carving of the sand fairy is above the front door. Down on the beach, the sand fairy walks over to his shell, clutching a letter.
Dear sand fairy, I've been thinking about what you said to me that night. That magic fades because people forget. I want you to know that I won't forget. I won't forget tomorrow, or the next month, or the next year.
The sand fairy gets in his shell.
And one day when I'm grown up and have children of my own, I'll tell them a story. An amazing story. About one summer and a secret beach, and wishes, and gold coins, and magic wings,
and 5 children. And it.
The sand fairy takes Brian the teddy into his shell and it sinks under the sand.
All right. Don't worry. We'll see them again. In episode 2, called It and 5 Children. It comes back, front of title, above title, It, in It. This time with a speedboat. You know, if I make a little adjustment to the top, I can get a speedboat out of this thing. There's my electric toothbrush. Well, Brian, you look very familiar. Have I met you before? Well, come in here. Come over here. Sit down here, Brian. Sit. Just sit down, Brian. You don't bend in the middle. Like fish? Because there's going to be a lot of fish here in about 2 hours. Well, this is my house. And, Brian, don't do that. It's a children's movie. This is the kitchen here. We're going to knock this bit down. Bedroom, come in here.
ITFC audio description by John Walskill. Cast in order of appearance: Mother, Tara Fitzgerald. Robert, Freddie Highmore. Father, Alex Jennings. Cyril, Jonathan Bailey. Anthea, Jessica Claridge. Jane, Poppy Rogers. The Lamb, Alec and Zach Muggleton. Martha, Zoe Wanamaker. Uncle, Kenneth Branagh. Horace, Alexander Pownall. Voice of It, Eddie Izzard. It Puppeteer, Robert Tigner. Mr. Bialy, Giorgio Serafini. Peasmarsh, John Sessions. RFC Flyer, Kim Fenton. Nesbitt, Norman Wisdom. Sergeant, Duncan Preston. Voice casting: Brendan Donison, MPSC. Vanessa Baker for Lips Incorporated. Sound re-recorded at Delane Lee, London. Music mixed by Malcolm Luca. Happy Birthday to You, written by Patty Hill and Mildred Hill. Published by EMI Music Publishing Limited. Robert's Theme, written and performed by Sean Lennon, produced by David Kahn. Published by Usagi Music. Sean Lennon appears courtesy of Capitol Records. Makeup and hair design, Suzanne Jansen. Production manager, Emma Mager. Production accountant, Rachel James. Camera operator, Nick Milner. Sound recordist, Simon Okin. Post-production supervisor, Alistair Hopkins. Special effects supervisor, Graham Longhurst. Location manager, Clive Miles. Assistant to producer, Daisy Allsop. Production coordinator, Alexandra Kosovich. Assistant production coordinator, Sanaz Misargian. Travel hotel coordinators, Vicky Sharp, Heather Noble. Production assistant, Michael Colley. Assistant director, Karen Cassie. Production runner, Harriet Howe. Unit manager, Michael Hamilton. Runner, Gemma Holloway. Second assistant director, Fiona Gosden. Third assistant director, Jerome Frank. Floor runner, Harriet Worth. First assistant camera A camera, Clive Mackey. First assistant camera B camera, John Webb. Second assistant camera A camera, Ian Mackey. Camera trainee, Scott Williams. Video assist operator, Lizzie Kelly. Grip, Tony Turner. Crane grip, David Maund. Steadicam operator, Paul Edwards. Script supervisor, Emma Thomas. Art director, Eddie Andres. Art director, John Ralph. Assistant art director, Peter James. Storyboard artist, John Greaves. Art department assistant, Rory Collins. Junior draftspersons, Rosie Reiter, Ruth Winnick, Claudine Thomas. Art department runner, Louis Hall. Set decorator, Sonia Klaus. Production buyer, Graham Bishop. Assistant prop buyer, Tom Rea. Graphics, Tony Roche. Sound maintenance, Jeremy Lishman. Sound assistant, Caroline Coleman. Chief hairdresser, Colin Wyatt. Makeup and hair artists, Cheryl Mitchell, Laura Schlorker. Kenneth Branagh's prosthetic makeup supplied and applied by Neil Gorton. Assistant costume designer, Morgan Elliott. Costume supervisors, Alan Burkett, Samantha Crouch. Costume trainee, Shane Kingdon. Crowdfitters, Luann Plax, Rosie Grant. Construction accountant, Elaine Harrison. Assistant accountant, Joanne Bendon. accounts assistant Robin Green. The characters and incidents portrayed herein are fictional, and any similarity to the name, character or history of any actual persons, living or dead, is entirely coincidental and unintentional.
Now, Wish Us All Mugs are available in the foyer of all good cinemas. Thank you.
The film Five Children and It, copyright Sand Fairy Productions, UK Film Council, Davis Films, 2004.